Obituary.
Paul Enger. The man who stole the scream died on June 29th, aged 57.
Some paintings are just too provoking. They have to be responded to. Picasso's Guernica, a howl against war, with red paint. Velázquez's shapely Rokeby Venus, with a meat cleaver wielded by a cross suffragette. The infuriating smile of the Mona Lisa, with almost anything. Stones, cake, paint, a teacup, soup. And Edvard Munch's The Scream, with its swirling reds and blues and its anguished central figure, silently crying out, hands clamped over ears, with plain removal. Paul Enger was never sure why he stole it, but the fact was that one minute his ladder was up against the wall of the National Gallery in Oslo, just below a window he could silently break, and the next he was wedging the painting, worth $55 million, behind the front seat of his car. He then drove round the city for hours, wondering what to do next. The feeling was magical, really electric. The scream was his. Ever polite, he had left a thank-you note. His theft, which horrified the art world and traumatized Norway, had been brewing for at least 6 years. He was in prison for half of that, for having stolen another Munch, Love and Pain, from the same museum in 1988. He had meant to nab the scream, but picked the wrong window for his ladder. Out of his keen disappointment, a better plan emerged. On February 12, 1994, the Winter Olympics would open in Lillehammer. The police would be distracted, and he would strike. A friend had been called in to lend a hand. It would be the perfect heist. He liked to show off. Among the gangsters of Tveita, the poor, crime-ridden section of Oslo where he grew up, he was already famous as a teenager for the money he made from thieving and profiteering. He paraded in flash clothes and luxury watches, and at 15 flew with a friend to New York to see where The Godfather was filmed. The Corleone family, minus the explosions and the horses' heads, because he avoided violence, were his career models. He could also have been a footballer, making his professional debut at 18 with Vålerenga in Norway's Premier League. He was wiry, had pace, and even played in a UEFA match. Like Beckham, he said. But football didn't pay much then, and crime did, especially when it came to cars. He favoured BMWs and Mercedes, and the only Porsche in Oslo was his. On Sundays, the city's richer folk would come to gritty Tveita to see him washing it. All this left little time for art appreciation. The jewels and artworks he especially stole were a means to an end to make himself rich. His name, signed P. Enger, was Norwegian for money, but he liked Munch. When he first saw the scream on an outing in primary school, his dreams were haunted by it for a long while. This was how his violent stepfather made him feel. It was comforting that other people could be so anxious too. Later, he read books about Munch and visited the National Gallery twice a week to gaze at the scream. He could see it was unglazed, usually unguarded, and right beside a window. Useful. But when he broke the wrong window in 1988 and was faced with a painting of a flame-haired woman ravenously embracing a man, he still seized it, hung it on his wall, and enjoyed it until the police got wind of him. The screen, though, once stolen, did not go on his wall. He stowed it in a secret compartment in his living room table. Later, he moved it to a summer chalet in the countryside, to a cellar reached by a trapdoor under a carpet. In both places, he could bring it out to admire it in private, like treasure. In fact, it could do nothing to enrich him. He couldn't sell it, or even openly admit he had it. All he could do was tease the police. When his son Oscar was born, he put a notice in the local paper announcing his birth, Med et skrik, with a scream. After a few months, it was a relief to be tricked into handing it to a British art recovery expert, posing in bow tie and waistcoat as an American. His daring raid earned him 7 years. It also made him a celebrity. He played up to it by escaping from a prison field trip, trying to flee to Copenhagen in a blonde wig and sunglasses, and giving copious interviews. After that, his life alternated between prison, starring in documentaries, and more thieving, though this gradually declined to taxi license plates and a couple of pairs of socks. His debts were huge. He had nowhere permanent to live, and no permanent woman in his life. Munch could have been a friend, though. They could have sat in the artist's garden at Osgårdstrand and drunk absinthe together. And, in a funny way, the scream was now part of him. In prison, in 2007, he took up painting. Animals at first. Sometimes, because people asked him to, he copied the scream. But he preferred to do his own abstracts. Mostly, they were swirling reds and blues, writhing into the ghost of a figure with its hands clasping its head. When Munch painted one of his four versions of the scream, he attached a note explaining that, "I was walking along the road with two friends. The sun was setting. The sky turned blood red. I paused, feeling exhausted, and leaned on the fence. There was blood and tongues of fire above the blue-black fjord in the city. My friends walked on, and I stood there trembling with anxiety, and I sensed an infinite scream passing through nature." Paul Enger's most striking moment of public introspection had certain echoes of this. "When I'm out of prison, I walk along the river and watch people feeding the birds. I feel I can see who is there because they have a bad conscience, who has beaten their woman the day before and makes up for it by feeding the birds. I'm like that myself. I often take bread to my prison cell so I can feed the birds outside the window. Then I ask myself, are you doing this to be nice to the birds, or because you have a bad conscience, Paul?"